Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Wednesday, June 15th, 2016. With me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you?
I am good. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to have you here. Adam Christensen from the MacCast. I'm glad you're here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great. And because the timing worked out perfectly today, Dave Hamilton, who is actually at Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference this week. Dave, how are you?
I am well. I am on a different time zone, and it all works.
No, I totally get that. I live in a very fluid state of time zones all the time.
You do. That's true. That's true.
So I feel your pain. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Atlassian, which is pretty awesome. We'll talk about them soon. But before we do that, we should just jump right into one of the topics that I think is just really fascinating, that this is something that's come out of WWDC. So one of the things that we'll be able to do in iOS 10, which is officially releasing to the public this fall as a free update, we'll be able to delete, in a manner of speaking, the pre-installed apps, or many of them, from our iOS devices. So that means like the Stocks app, the Weather app, Mail, even, we'll be able to delete those in the same way that we delete third-party apps from our devices. But it's not exactly what it sounds like. So I figured we should jump into this and explain exactly what's really happening here. And Adam, you kind of have a handle on this. So how about if we start with you?
Yeah, Dave might more, because I don't know if he was able to attend the talk show taping that Gruber had with Phil Schiller and
Craig Federighi. No, I didn't, but I've heard quite a bit from it. I actually had an event out of the city last night, so I wasn't able to go to that one. But you can delete the apps, and they will disappear from your home screen, and you would have to reinstall them by essentially redownloading them from the App Store. So it will feel a lot like removing a third-party app does. But the app itself is not actually removed from your device. What they say, and there's going to need to be some testing on this, is that it removes the data from your device. Right. And this could be a very valuable thing, because mail, traditionally, I haven't tested it in iOS 10 yet, but in iOS 9 and before, would keep your account data around even once, or keep your cache of account data around even once you had removed the account from mail. So if you were having a problem with your account, you can remove it and then re-add it, and it will inherit all of the data that it had. It doesn't actually delete that data from the account, from the device. So this could actually become a very valuable troubleshooting step, in addition to it being a clutter removal step for people that use third-party mail apps.
Yeah, and I was even what I had been reading and what I had heard as I was kind of investigating this morning is that it really doesn't even, you won't re-download the apps. I think Federighi said that explicitly. You know, they're built into the operating system, so they can't be removed. They can't be updated separately, because some people were arguing too, oh, maybe they'll be able to push updates, you know, independent of the iOS updates. And they said, no, that's not going to happen. You know, there are hooks and things that go away. And so what I'm curious to see about this is, you know, what happens if, you know, I think people are going to forget that, oh yeah, I'm using the, you know, the weather widget, and now I've deleted the weather app, and suddenly I don't have weather data. You know, you're going to have to either put the weather app back on or install a third-party weather app that's tapping into that same underlying system. And that's the point, right?
Things
a lot of the mail apps,
watch, perhaps.
The mail apps or other contacts apps, those tap into those databases and that data. So that still needs to stay there.
Yeah.
And the other interesting thing is, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I want to delete these stock apps because I need to free up space. And they pointed out, you know, all of these apps, if you delete all of them, they really only use up 150, I think, megabytes of total storage. So you're not gaining a lot of extra space. even if you were to remove them. So it's more of a convenience thing for, you know, I don't use the stocks app, so I don't have to just hide it off in app Siberia anymore. I can actually, you know, have it go away and just not show up. But, you know, a lot of the underlying things are still there because the operating system needs it for a lot of those apps. You know, stocks, not as much, but you think about something like calendar or contacts or, you know, weather, and those things are integrated in a lot of ways deep inside the OS.
Yeah. Well, now, and I wonder what's going to happen to the URLs, right? To dig a little deeper, right? When one app says, I want to send mail with the mail app, it actually does that by sending all of your data into one long URL string that happens internal on the iOS device. And this is how apps can talk to each other without having any sandboxing problems. So, you know, you've got whatever app you've got, and you say, I want to send an email with this picture. And so it sends and it just triggers this URL to launch, and instead of it launching in Safari, it launches in Mail because the URL starts with Mail to. Well,
right.
What's going to happen there? You know, can you, on the Mac, you can actually go in and change what the Mail to URL points to. Of course,
right.
you have to do it in Mail app, so that's sort of ironic. But
yeah.
Where, you know, what's going to happen to those things? Are we going to get the ability to have the Mail to URL go to a different, like, third party app? And if so, regardless of whether you keep mail on your device, that's actually a really nice thing for folks that don't want to use mail as their default.
It's sounding like no from what I'm reading.
Be dead ends. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of like, to me, it feels like, you know, you still got send mail sitting there under the hood. I mean, this is a bad example because that's not what's there. But the point is like the underlying mail engine is still going to grab that and handle it. Even if you don't have mail.app, you know, the front facing part of it,
right.
I would imagine it still gets processed in the same way in the background and the mail gets sent off, but you're not like pushing it through another application. I mean, and that's how the third party apps work now, right? They're just tapping into the underlying structure in the data, mm-hmm. you know, and they're storing their own views and caches of that stuff. But, you know, when you're, you know, sending a mail through the share sheet or something like that, I would imagine even if you've deleted mail app, it's still going to use that underlying engine. Is that, that's at least what it sounds like from this interview.
Either that or it's going to tell you, you need to install mail.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen again.
I hope not. That would be horrible. There.
Yeah. That's the point is mail is still there. You just don't have you don't have Apple's interface into the underlying mail engine. You have some other one.
Right.
All right. Well, whatever they do, I hope it's an elegant solution, because the idea of tapping on something in an app to send an email message and then getting a dialogue that says you need to install mail before you can actually do this is not appealing at all.
Right. And I think that's the exact point, right, is you could have no mail client installed on your iOS device, technically, but things like share sheets and all the other apps that rely on the ability to send an email, you know, something like Pocket, if I want to send this article to someone, that's all still going to work, even if you don't choose to have a mail client on your phone.
All right. That would be an acceptable compromise for me. Yeah. Because, the idea of losing functionality like that, just that doesn't sit well. So now my guess is that things like that are going to be broken right now, at least to a degree, because we are talking about beta software. So if that's a problem for you today and you're playing with a beta, keep in mind that things can change and will change a lot between now and this fall when iOS 10 officially ships. Yeah. All right, well, I'm looking forward to being able to get rid of my Rurapenthe folder and start experimenting with using alternate apps instead of Apple's built-in apps for some things. Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Atlassian. And if you're not familiar with Atlassian, it's probably because you don't realize they're making products that you're already using. So if you're working on, say, a group project where you have people kind of scattered around the country or the world that are, well, it's WWDC week. So let's say you're working on a coding project together and you need to collaborate on all the different elements of that app that you're creating. Well, then you are probably using Bitbucket to keep track of all the code pieces and to test the code elements that you're creating. And you may be using like HipChat to talk with each other about what you're working on the project. And then maybe you're using Jira to keep track of who's working on which piece of the project. And then if you have elements that you need to share with each other from the project outside of that, well, that's where Confluence comes in. And so between all these pieces, you've created this great ecosystem for developing your new killer app that's about to go viral. And you didn't even realize all the tools you're using come from the same company. And that company would be Atlassian. So what you should do, please, is go check out their website. It's Atlassian.com, Atlassian.com. Check out their tools because there's probably something there that you need for one of your projects and you just didn't realize that it came from Atlassian. So, hey, Atlassian, thank you for being our sponsor today. Okay, so the other thing that I wanted to talk about today is the state of net neutrality. And the reason I want to talk about this is because yesterday, U.S. Court of Appeals sided with the FCC on net neutrality. And what they did was they ruled on the rule changes that the FCC implemented last February, so meaning February of 2015. And when those new rules were created, what they said was that broadband service providers such as Verizon and Comcast and AT&T, they will be treated for the purposes of broadband as what's called a common carrier. So they became a utility, a communication utility. As such, the FCC could then say, you cannot limit the bandwidth for content that's coming through other sources into or just passing through your network. You cannot charge other companies more to allow their content to pass through your network uninhibited. Well, that can mean a lot of things on the internet. So without being throttled or degraded in any way, or even potentially blocked. And the carriers are saying, nope, 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 this is not a good idea. So they filed a lawsuit.
A couple of things here. First of all, I read about a month or two ago that FCC chairman was chortling a little bit about the portent of a lawsuit. Tom Wheeler, the FCC chairman, and expressed the opinion that their lawyers had done their homework and that they felt they were on strong grounds. And yeah, we'll be sued. But he says we're sued on everything.
I think we just lost John.
No, I hear John.
I hear him, yeah.
Oh, okay. Am I still
here? I think Jeff lost John.
I lost John momentarily. That was really weird.
Huh. You may have lost all of us without realizing it because the other two of us were quiet, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, welcome back, everyone.
Am I back?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You were never gone.
It was just me, John.
Do you want me to start over so you can edit?
You know what? People sometimes get to hear how the sausage gets made. We'll just keep going. We're fine.
All right, cool. So anyway, I was optimistic that it would go this way, and the three-judge panel ruled 2-1 in favor of the FCC. So I got the feeling that the FCC lawyers were pretty smart and knew what they were doing, expected to be sued, and accordingly they lost. And I think one of the reasons why they lost was because of the importance of the internet as a utility. You know, we tend to think of the internet as entertainment, Netflix, Amazon Prime, all the glitzy stuff with communication and socialization. But the internet really is an important utility. You know, people do their banking, they pay their income tax, file on the internet. They do a lot of important legal things. They'll get a request from some government agency and they'll have to file some paperwork, you know, to get benefits or something like that, and they can't afford to have these people suffer because the big boys are paying a lot of money to push through their movies, and because of that, basis of the internet being an important public utility, I think that the Supreme Court's going to side with the appeals court.
Yeah, and don't forget cat videos.
Oh, don't forget cat videos. That's
full
right.
Speed. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, so here's another interesting thing that comes out of the appeals court ruling. Because the FCC's position as the controller of what these broadband providers can and can't do, the FCC is already working on new rules that fall under the same category, and they're working on rules that will help protect our online privacy. And I see that as a really nice side bonus to go along with giving us net neutrality.
You know, I don't have too many heroes in government. I can't think of too many people, but Tom Wheeler would have to be on my list if I made a list.
Yeah, and it's kind of surprising. On one hand, I remember when Tom Wheeler was announced as the new FCC chairman, because at the time I was very skeptical, because this was a guy that was coming out of the whole broadband cable communication industry was he actually a lobbyist at the time? I can't remember, but I was really concerned because I felt like his interests may not align with what the public needs. And as it turns out, I was wrong. He's clearly, at least in this case, fighting for those of us that are using the internet as opposed to fighting for the people that are providing the service, which I think is pretty cool.
And it's nice to see sanity and fairness and public interest prevail for once in the face of big money and big interest. It's kind of refreshing.
It is. And Dave and Adam, you've been kind of quiet on this one. Do you guys have anything to add?
I'm in agreement. I have nothing to challenge here. I think I agree with everything you said. I think it's fantastic, in fact, that this is going the way that it should go without too much. There's resistance, but it feels like momentum is going in the right direction, and that's awesome.
Yeah, that was sort of my thing, is I agree with a lot of the statements John was making about how integral the internet has become to everyone's daily lives. And I think it's the right direction to move in, where this really does need to be treated like a basic utility, like water or electricity or the other things that we enjoy on that level. It's all good.
Yep, I agree. And it's a safe assumption that this is going to go to the Supreme Court. It doesn't necessarily mean the Supreme Court will agree to hear the case, but the carriers are more than willing to take this as far as they can, and they plan on doing that. So expect to hear news very soon about the carriers filing with to be heard by the Supreme Court, and then we'll just see what happens there.
Yeah.
And hey, we are out of time, so we need to wrap up. And Dave, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy WWDC schedule to join us today.
This was absolutely my pleasure. I'm totally happy it worked out.
Yeah, so am I. And John, thank you so much for being here.
You bet.
And Adam, thank you for being here. And listeners, check out the MacCast if you don't, because you're missing out on a really great show.
Hey, great. Thanks, Jeff.
And listeners, sorry about, I don't know if it's the NSA or the aliens that were trying to tap into the show where I thought I lost everyone, but that's something special that we get to share, because we got to hear that even though no one else did. Atlassian, thank you for being our sponsor. Check them out at their website, atlassian.com. And everyone, thank you for being here. We'll see you again tomorrow.